Facebook unfriends Australia. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. That's the accusation from Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison after the social network blocked news content to the country's users. It comes amid an ongoing tussle over the government's attempts to require tech giants to pay for content reposted from news outlets. Australian Treasurer Josh Frydenberg condemned the move.
Facebook was wrong. Facebook's actions were unnecessary. They were heavy-handed, and they will damage its reputation here in Australia.
Facebook said its decision was made with a heavy heart, but in the process of blocking news, it also inadvertently shut down government health and emergency services pages, which it's looking to restore. The reaction from users in Sydney has been fierce.
Yeah, just sort of digesting that news, really, to be honest. It's a bit surreal. Kind of feels obviously very restrictive.
I feel like Facebook, you just use it as an all-round news service. So to be restricted of all that stuff, it is definitely concerning.
America's tech giants have had increasingly different reactions to the Australian government's tech crackdown, as the BBC's Phil Mercer told me.
A very contrasting approach between Google and Facebook. Once upon a time, both companies were in chorus or in unison saying that the law, the media bargaining code here in Australia, was unworkable and unfair. But Google seems to have softened that stance by signing those deals with major Australian broadcasters and publishers, and certainly it seems that Facebook is trying to take on the Australian government, picking a fight with Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister. But as we say, the law was approved by the lower house of the Australian Parliament on Wednesday. It's expected to be given the seal of approval by the upper chamber, the Senate, next week. Australia says there's still time for Facebook to be involved in those negotiations, but it seems at this moment that neither side is willing to back down.
For Facebook, does it just have to do with market size? Is that what it comes down to? Because it does pay some publishers here in the UK for their content.
One of the arguments that these big tech companies have used is that the news items that they repost from traditional media sources generates internet traffic and revenue for those media organizations. Facebook is essentially saying that it doesn't ask for or court these sorts of news items, but its users are responsible and publishers for putting that material on its platform. So Facebook says it's not about money. It seems to be about the principle that Facebook is worried that it doesn't want governments setting a price on part of its business. And this might not just be an Australian issue. This law would make Australia the first country anywhere to force big tech firms to pay for news content. And we understand that Canadian authorities and those in the European Union are following progress of this type of legislation. So this is a fight that could have global implications.
The BBC's Phil Mercer for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Victoria.
Checking a few numbers now, shares of Air France KLM are off 0.6% after announcing a nearly $8.5 billion loss last year. Meanwhile, Airbus shares are down nearly 4% after it booked a $1.3 billion annual loss. By now, you've probably heard of SPACs, right? Special purpose acquisition companies raise money through a stock market listing, then buy private companies, making them public. It's a craze that's taken Wall Street by storm, and by the beginning of February, according to Dealogic data, SPACs had already raised $46 billion after a record-setting 2020. Now the trend is making its way here across the Atlantic. Just this week, the former boss of UniCredit, one of Italy's biggest banks, teamed up with the founder of Louis Vuitton handbag maker LVMH to launch a SPAC with the goal of buying a European financial company. So what exactly are these investment vehicles and why are they so popular? Alok Gupta, one of JP Morgan's top bankers who organizes these kinds of deals, explains.
A SPAC is a special purpose acquisition company. And what that essentially is a vehicle which is listed on a particular exchange, could be in the US, could be in Europe. And that vehicle's objective is essentially in a fixed amount of time to consummate an acquisition of a private company, causing that private company to effectively become a listed company in its own right.
It's become a much more popular way of effectively going public. It's just one of many ways. The way that, you know, we're sort of all used to hearing about companies going public is the traditional initial public offering process, which involves a roadshow, lots of media attention, maybe a trip to the floor of the stock exchange where a company starts trading. Why would companies choose to forego that process and do a SPAC deal over an IPO?
It could do with the nature of the business that the company has in the first place. So, for example, a company that is extremely well established, has huge revenues, is profitable, is a very well-known brand, either in the broad market or in its own industry, is likely to always choose the IPO route. But a company which is slightly more early stage, slightly more in a place where the proof of concept is not completely there, or is in a sector which is a bit complicated for the layman or laywoman to understand, and where you can actually benefit by having a SPAC, because a SPAC crucially allows a company to share with investors its forward business plan to get a better and deeper understanding of what the company is seeking to do over a period of time and value it better, understand it better.
Do you think this is a trend? Like I said, this is a booming one in the US. Is this one you think will expand to other parts of the world?
Undoubtedly it will. And I think we are having this conversation on an appropriate day, with one having been announced yesterday, which is listing in Amsterdam, and one transaction that we are running at this very moment, which is listing in Frankfurt. You know, there is a huge number of European as well as Asia Pac companies that would want to be listed, but would want to be listed in their own regions. And I think for those companies, it will be important that there is a local SPAC offering as well. You know, for example, the most natural listing home for a French company might be Paris. Similarly, for a German company might be Frankfurt, and for a UK company might be London. So that will be driven by the objectives of the teams that are looking to set up SPACs. I would expect to see them across all of the key listing locations in Europe. I think there is a lot of momentum behind this today.
A fascinating trend. Alok Gupta from JP Morgan, thank you so much for breaking this all down for us.
Thank you very much. Lovely talking to you.
There's so much more with Alok. Everything you need to know about SPACs and why they matter over on marketplace.org for the full conversation. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.